Welcome to our deep dive, everybody. We're tackling co-intelligence, living and working with AI by Ethan Mollick. We're going to really break this down and look at how AI is changing how we think, how we work, even how we learn.
Yeah, and it's a fascinating exploration, how these systems, especially these large language models, these LLMs, aren't just like fancy calculators. Mollick kind of suggests we think of them more like alien minds.
Alien minds, okay. I'm intrigued, but I'm also a little scared. What makes them so different?
Well, think back to like the 1700s, right? The Mechanical Turk. People were convinced this machine could actually play chess, but it was all an illusion.
Right, a hidden chess master, like pulling the strings. But what's the connection to AI today?
Well, it highlights how we tend to project human-like intelligence onto machines, right? And with AI, it's even more tempting. I mean, we see it writing poetry, composing music, even diagnosing illnesses.
And that's where this whole alien mind idea comes in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because AI, it doesn't think like us. LLMs like ChatGPT, they use these things called transformers
Yeah.
that analyze massive, massive amounts of text. And then they use that to like predict the next word in a sequence, but it's all based on patterns and probability.
So kind of like supercharged predictive text, like what we have on our phones, but on like a massive scale.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But the sheer scale, right? It
Right.
allows them to create this incredibly human-like text. And Mollick argues that embracing this alien perspective, it actually helps us better understand both their capabilities, what they can do, and also their limitations, what they can't do.
It's almost like we need to expand our very definition of intelligence to wrap our heads around AI.
Right. And take, for example, this lawyer who used ChatGPT to write a legal brief. And get this, the AI cited completely fictional court cases. It just made them up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it highlights that while AI can be incredibly convincing, it doesn't understand truth in the same way that we do.
That's both funny and concerning at the same time. So how do we navigate this? It feels like we can't just blindly trust AI.
Absolutely. And Mollick lays out four key principles for working with AI effectively. The first one is deceptively simple, right? Invite AI to everything.
So it's more about exploration at this point than finding like immediate solutions.
Exactly. It's about discovering how AI can augment our own capabilities in these unexpected ways. By experimenting, by constantly playing with these tools, we start to understand the strengths and the limitations of this co-intelligence. So, like, let's say you're writing a report, right? Instead of just starting from scratch, you might ask an AI to summarize the key findings from a research paper. Or maybe generate a first draft based on like your bullet points.
Right. That could save so much time and maybe even spark new ideas you wouldn't have thought of. It's about working smarter, not harder.
Precisely. And that leads us to the second principle. Treat AI like a person.
Wait, really? Like, give it a birthday cake.
Well, not quite. It's more about recognizing that these AI systems, they often respond to prompts in ways that mimic human interaction. So we can actually leverage this. We can specify a role or persona for the AI, and that can influence its output.
So, like, if I need a creative writing prompt, I might tell the AI, you are a seasoned screenwriter known for your plot twists, and it'll adapt its style.
Exactly. By setting the scene, providing that context, we actually reduce those hallucinations. Like that AI lawyer making up legal cases. It's about becoming better directors for our AI actors.
Okay, that's a fascinating analogy. It makes me think about how we adapt our own communication style based on who we're talking to, and now we're doing the same thing with AI.
Exactly. And this leads us to that third principle, be the human in the loop. This really emphasizes our active role in guiding, evaluating, and ultimately refining the output of AI.
So it's not about replacing human judgment, it's about enhancing it with AI's capabilities.
Precisely. Think of like a doctor using AI to help diagnose an illness. The AI can analyze medical records, it can suggest possibilities, but ultimately, it's still the doctor who considers the patient's individual circumstances, their history, and makes a final call. The human remains essential in interpreting that data and making those informed decisions.
Yeah, it's like having this super powered assistant, but you're still the one calling the shots. We have to avoid like falling asleep at the wheel, right?
Exactly. And there was this fascinating study on recruiters who were using AI to screen job applicants. And they found that the recruiters who were given this like high quality AI assistance actually performed worse than those with less sophisticated AI or even no AI at all.
Wait, really? Why would that be? That seems counterintuitive.
Well, they became complacent. They started relying too heavily on the AI's recommendations without really carefully reviewing them. And so they ended up missing out on some potentially great candidates because they stopped thinking critically. And that's precisely what falling asleep at the wheel looks like.
Wow, that's a cautionary tale if I've ever heard one. We can't forget that AI is a tool, and just like any tool, how effective it is depends entirely on the skill of the person using it, right? We can't let our own expertise atrophy.
Exactly. And that brings us to the final principle, and this one's important. Assume this is the worst AI you will ever use.
Okay, that's a bold statement. Why such a like pessimistic outlook?
Well, it's about adopting this mindset of continuous learning and adaptation. Because AI is constantly evolving, what might seem really impressive today could be completely surpassed by even more powerful tools tomorrow.
It's like looking at the very first iPhone compared with the smartphones we have today. Like, we have to be prepared for those kinds of leaps in AI's capabilities.
Exactly. And this open-mindedness is absolutely crucial as we kind of delve into the impact of AI on, well, something we often think of as a uniquely human trait, creativity.
That's what I was going to ask about next. How can something that processes data in such a, structured way actually boost creativity? It seems counterintuitive. It's Oh. easy to think about creativity as this like magical thing, But Malik actually argues that AI can be surprisingly good at coming up with new ideas, even like outperforming us in certain tests.
Yeah, and one example he gives is the alternative uses test. You take an everyday object, like, a brick or a paperclip, and you try to come up with as many creative uses for it as possible. AI is really good at this.
Really? How many can it come up with?
Well, Malik talks about asking an AI for creative uses for like a toothbrush, right? And in 2 minutes, it generated over 120 ideas.
Wow, 2 minutes, 120. I'd be struggling to come up with 10.
Yeah.
But I mean, does that mean AI is about to replace like artists and inventors?
Well, not quite. While AI can generate tons of ideas, they're not always, good ideas. It's often a case of quantity over quality.
So it's like having a brainstorming partner who just throws out a million possibilities, right? Some of them are brilliant, some of them are totally off the wall, but you still need the human there to like sift through and find the gems.
Exactly. And get this, there was even a Wharton Business School innovation contest where they actually pitted AI against MBA students in generating new product ideas. The AI won by a landslide.
No way. So, I mean, what's the lesson here? Is AI like the ultimate creative disruptor?
I think the key takeaway is that AI can absolutely supercharge our creativity, right? But it's still a tool. It needs human guidance to take all those ideas, all those possibilities, and shape them into something that's actually innovative. That's where we come in, right? We bring the judgment, the experience, the understanding of context that AI often lacks.
So it's about collaboration, not competition.
Right. AI can help us break through creative blocks, see possibilities we might have missed, but it's still up to us to shape those possibilities into something meaningful. And this actually ties into Malik's concept of the jagged frontier.
Right, that ever-shifting line between what humans are better at and what AI excels at. It's not about one replacing the other, it's about figuring out how they work best together.
Exactly. And Malik actually breaks work down into four categories to kind of illustrate this. First, we have just me tasks, the things that are still uniquely human. Things like emotional intelligence, complex problem solving, that critical thinking, those flashes of insight that make us who we are.
The things that AI, at least for now, can't quite replicate.
Exactly. And then we've got our delegated tasks. This is the stuff we're perfectly happy to hand over to the machines.
Right, like the repetitive tasks, data analysis, scheduling, all that stuff that frees us up to focus on more like human-centered work.
Exactly. But then it gets even more interesting when we get to centaur tasks. It's half human, half machine. Is this where the real co-intelligence magic happens?
Yeah, I was gonna say, that sounds interesting.
It's where humans and AI are working together in this really close collaboration, each playing to their strengths. So, like, take a financial analyst, for example. AI can crunch numbers. It can analyze market trends with incredible speed and accuracy. But the analyst, they use their experience, their knowledge to interpret those findings, to advise clients, to
Yeah.
make those really strategic decisions. So the AI is augmenting their capabilities, but the human is still very much in the driver's seat.
Like having an AI co-pilot, helping you navigate these complex data landscapes.
Oh, that's a great analogy. And then we have the final category, and this is where the lines get even blurrier. cyborg tasks.
Okay, are we talking like neural implants and brain-computer interfaces?
Well, not quite yet, although, that future might be closer than we think. But cyborg tasks, they involve this really seamless integration of human and AI capabilities. So, like, imagine a writer who's using AI to, like, help them overcome writer's block, right? They might start a sentence, and the AI suggests a couple different ways to finish it. Or it helps them rephrase a paragraph to make it more impactful. It's about enhancing our own natural abilities, not replacing them.
So it's like having an AI co-writer, right? Like
Yeah.
you're constantly bouncing ideas off each other, refining the work together.
Exactly. And it's this seamless integration that I think Malik finds the most transformative, because it's not just about AI doing tasks for us, it's about AI helping us to actually think differently.
It's almost like AI becomes this extension of our own minds, right? Like expanding our creative and intellectual horizons. It's kind of mind-blowing when you think about it. And it makes me wonder, like, how could this reshape not just the way we work, but also the way we learn?
Absolutely. And Malik dives deep into this in the book. He explores how AI could transform education as we know it.
That's a big one because we've all heard those concerns, right? About AI making it easier for students to cheat, harder for teachers to like really assess if students are truly understanding the material.
It's definitely a concern, and Malik doesn't shy away from it, but he actually draws a really interesting parallel to the introduction of calculators in the classroom.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when those first came out? I mean, some people thought it was the end of math education as we knew it.
Oh, I remember. Were we even going to need to know how to do long division anymore?
Exactly. But ultimately, calculators didn't destroy math education, they changed it. And Malik believes AI will have a similarly transformative effect, not by replacing teachers, but by pushing us to reimagine what we teach and how we teach.
So, less about memorizing facts and formulas, which, let's be honest, AI can already do better than us. It's more about, like you said, critical thinking, problem solving, being able to evaluate information in a world that's going to be increasingly flooded with AI-generated content.
Precisely. AI could personalize the learning experience in ways we never thought possible. It can provide customized tutoring, really tailored to each student's needs. And this would free up teachers to really focus on those higher level skills, like, fostering deeper engagement with their students, really digging into those complex topics. Malik even talks about the concept of flipped classrooms.
Right, where students kind of learn the material at home, maybe through videos or AI-powered tutoring systems, and then they come to class ready to actually apply what they've learned through like discussions, group projects, hands-on activities.
Exactly. So AI handles that kind of like information delivery part, which allows teachers to become more like facilitators of learning, guiding students to think more critically and creatively about the material.
It's a really exciting vision for the future of education, one where AI empowers both teachers and students to reach their full potential.
And I think central to this vision is the importance of really cultivating human expertise, even in a world that's becoming increasingly driven by AI.
So, yes, AI might be able to perform certain tasks, but it's still humans who are guiding, evaluating, and ultimately refining its output. That's reassuring to hear.
Exactly. And it's not enough to just know how to use AI. We need to develop deep knowledge and skills in our respective fields to truly leverage it effectively. And this is where, deliberate practice comes in, that focused, challenging practice that really pushes us beyond our comfort zones.
Right, it's that constant striving for mastery, right?
Yeah.
Honing our skills through dedicated effort and feedback.
Precisely. And believe it or not, AI can actually play a role in this process too. It can act as a kind of high-tech coach or mentor. Imagine like an AI system that analyzes your performance, gives you personalized feedback, and even suggests areas where you can improve.
That would be incredible. Like having an AI coach to help you become like a world-class musician or athlete or even, a better podcaster. The possibilities are kind of endless when you think about it.
Exactly. AI can track our progress, identify your weaknesses, and even create like custom training programs tailored to our individual needs. I mean, it could really revolutionize how we learn and develop expertise throughout our lives.
It's about leveraging AI to help us become the best versions of ourselves.
Precisely. And that brings us to, I think, Malik's final and maybe most thought-provoking point, the future of AI. He outlines three potential scenarios. The first he calls as good as it gets. The second, the jagged future. And finally, the age of AI.
Okay, let's hear them. Is the future of AI going to be all sunshine and roses, or are we headed for like a robot uprising? Okay, let's hear them. Is the future of AI going to be all sunshine and roses, Or are we headed for like a robot uprising?
Well, Moloch starts with a scenario he calls as good as it gets. And this is the idea that maybe, just maybe, this is as smart as AI gets. No more of these huge sudden leaps in intelligence, just kind of like refinements and improvements from here on out.
So no Skynet taking over the world. That's a relief. But I mean, what would that kind of future actually look like? What would it mean for, for us, for our everyday lives?
Well, in this scenario, AI becomes, this incredibly powerful tool that really enhances our productivity, our efficiency. Think of it as augmenting human work rather than like completely replacing it.
So more of a gradual evolution than a sudden, like, jarring revolution.
Exactly. But, even in this scenario, even if AI doesn't become like super intelligent, it would still have this profound impact, right? I mean, think about areas like healthcare, scientific research, and of course, as we were just discussing, education.
Right, it's still a big change, just maybe not as, dramatic or disruptive as some people fear. Okay, so what's the next scenario?
The next one, Moloch calls it the jagged future. And this is where AI, it continues to advance, but it does so in these kind of like unpredictable spurts and starts. So some fields might see really rapid progress, like exponential growth, while others might lag behind.
Okay, that sounds, I don't know, a bit more chaotic, a bit harder to predict. How do we even begin to navigate that kind of uncertainty?
Right, and that's the challenge, isn't it? It requires us to be adaptable, constantly learning, and definitely a willingness to like embrace change as it comes. Because that jagged frontier that we're talking about, that line between human capabilities and AI capabilities, it would be constantly shifting. And we have to be ready to shift with it, right? We have to constantly update our skills, our knowledge to stay ahead of the curve.
It's a future that demands agility, not just from individuals, but from, society as a whole. And I think the stakes are pretty high, wouldn't you say? We need to make sure that these advancements, these incredible technological leaps, that they actually benefit everyone, not just a select few.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And that actually leads us very nicely into that third scenario, the one that I think tends to capture the imagination, maybe for better or for worse, the age of AI.
This is the big one, right? Where AI actually surpasses human intelligence across the board. It's, I don't know, it's both exhilarating and terrifying to think about.
It really is. And the scenario raises some like really profound questions, I think, about the very nature of intelligence, of consciousness, even, what it means to be human.
Yeah, it's like this is the stuff of science fiction, but suddenly it's feeling not so fictional anymore. What does Moloch have to say about like the implications of this kind of future, this age of AI?
Well, he explores both the utopian possibilities and the dystopian ones. So like on the one hand, imagine AI solving some of our most pressing global challenges. Climate change, poverty, disease. I mean, it could usher in this era of, unprecedented prosperity and well-being for everyone.
It's a very tantalizing vision of the future, right? Where technology actually helps us overcome our own limitations, our own maybe short-sightedness, and allows us to create this, truly better world. But, and I think this is always the big but, there's also that potential for things to go wrong, isn't there?
Exactly. And I think those are the questions we have to grapple with, right? What happens when we create something that's potentially more intelligent than ourselves? How do we ensure that it shares our values, our goals? These aren't just like, hypothetical questions for philosophers to debate. These are real-world implications for how we develop and deploy AI in a responsible and ethical way.
Right. It's both exciting and daunting, I think, to think about the sheer scale of these possibilities, both positive and negative. So where does that leave us? Like, if we step back from all these different scenarios, what's the key takeaway here?
Well, I think no matter which future ends up unfolding, and it's probably going to be some combination of all of these, right? But I think Moloch's central message, the thing he really wants us to remember, is that the key to thriving in this age of co-intelligence is to embrace this mindset of adaptability, of curiosity, and of lifelong learning.
It's about being proactive, not reactive. It's about shaping the future we want rather than just kind of, letting it be shaped for us. And it's about constantly pushing ourselves to learn and grow, right?
Yeah.
To keep pace with these advancements as they unfold.
Exactly. And, as we've been discussing, AI can actually be a partner in this journey, right? It can help us to become better learners, better thinkers, even better creators. if we let it.
Right. It's about recognizing that this isn't a zero-sum game, right? It's not humans versus machines. It's about finding those ways to collaborate, to augment each other's strengths, and ultimately to create a future where both can flourish.
Very well said. I think that's a perfect way to put it. It's a message of hope, I think, and a message of empowerment. We have this incredible opportunity to shape this technology in a way that truly benefits all of humanity. We can create a future that's both innovative and humane, but it's going to take all of us working together.
It's a future worth striving for, that's for sure. And Malik's book has definitely given us, and I'm sure our listeners, a lot to think about. It's a real call to action, I think, to embrace this co-intelligence revolution, not with fear, but with, with curiosity, with creativity, and with a real commitment to shaping a future that we can all be proud of.
Well said, well said. And I think, this is really just the beginning of the conversation. The possibilities, as we've seen, are pretty much limitless.
That's right. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the world of co-intelligence. Until next time, everyone, keep learning, keep exploring, and keep those questions coming.